This is the Closet Geek, episode 57 for October 9th, 2014.
Closet Geek, coming to you each week in Closet Geek. All things of geeks critiqued in Closet Geek. Comics and games and tech in Closet Geek. Lego, Star Wars, Star Trek in Closet Geek. We are not nerds, we have some social skills to call our own.
Hey guys, and welcome to The Closet Geek, where geeks come out. This is the podcast where four brothers have united their powers to become the four horsemen of geek to bring you the best and latest geeky news. I'm your host, Barry, and with me, I only have one of my brothers tonight. I have Mike.
Yeah, just the two youngins today.
That's right, the two young ones pulling it together. John is working and Ryan is busy moving. Again.
So John gets to roll his eyes consistently as he listens to this episode live.
That's right. So, and yell at us, be like, you guys don't know what you're talking about.
Well, so, that's what happens when he's not here.
That's right. News hound John. He's our news guy. But let's go to our first segment of the show.
This week in Geek.
This is the segment where we talk about things we did geeky throughout the week, the things we love, and the things that we can recommend to you. So, Mike, it's just the two of us, so we could probably take a little bit of extra time and fill up that time of the other two. So, what have you done geeky this week?
You mean I get to actually talk and not be interrupted by John making fun of me about the things I do?
Sure. I can make fun of you instead if that works.
Oh, see, yeah. There you go. No, this week I am in mass preparations for two events coming up. One is the United Clan Swordsman Association Interstate Competition. Notice I said interstate, not interdivisional, because it's also including our friends through the HEMA Alliance from True Edge. We've invited our friends from True Edge to participate in the competition. From my understanding, a couple of those individuals will be participating in this tournament, so this will be great. I'm actually participating in this tournament. So
this is a tournament for your, like, the HEMA Alliance and stuff?
It is a UCSA tournament, but we've invited the True Edge people who are in the Utah area, because it's a Utah organization, and we're trying out a new point system where we're doing 22 points overall. So if you take a hit, you lose a point, and arms and legs are a half a point, and your body and head are 1 point. So if you get hit, you lose a point. A match goes to 8 points. So if it's 6-2, it's 6-2, and that's a total of 8 points. If it ends up being 4-4, it's a total of 8 points. And then you just do a continual round robin until you get to the last two people. So in theory, the last two people for first and second would only have, say, maybe 3 or 4 points each or less, and the match would just go until the total of points against a single individual has been met to eliminate that person. So it really makes you focus not only on your offense, but on your defense equally, and to make sure that you avoid what's referred to as the afterblow, which is those moments of time after you strike your opponent. You have to keep your defense up, so that way you don't take that afterblow hit. So I've been preparing myself for that tournament, and that's this Saturday. So that's 2 days away, and instead of practicing my swordsmanship, I'm getting a costume ready for my son.
So, shame on you, but also for you.
No, Lance wanted to be Zaz from Final Fantasy 13 for Halloween, and also Anime Bonsai is next week, which is the Utah's largest anime convention, and I help run that as one of the coordinators for the committees, so that's great. So I'm going to be working it, but when you work a convention, you kind of experience it at the same time. But I'm trying to get that ready for him, and he. So for those of you who don't know who Zaz is, he's this tall gunslinging guy that has this really cool green jacket, and he's a black man, so, or African American, for those, you know.
That's okay. We don't have to be politically correct here.
I suppose, you know. But he has this big fro that has a little baby chocobo, like a little chick that he carries with him. And so we're gonna get Lance a little afro wig, so he'll look the part. It'll look cool.
Cool.
I think it's going to be great. I'm doing my part to make that for him. So that's also something I've been doing, is costume making, martial arts preparation, and getting together all my paperwork and medical supplies, because I'm the medical coordinator for Anime Banzai, so I've been getting all of that ready, making sure everybody's ready to go for that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I have, like, everything else geeky I've been doing this week, which is awesome. So SLC Anime... shout out to them and our club here in Utah. And we reviewed Madoka Magica, which was the magical girl fantasy drama horror thriller show. Notice I said horror thriller at the end, so it wasn't exactly what everyone was expecting. So it actually got pretty high rankings on a scale of 1 to 10. We all review it, and then we do an average. The average was 7.5 overall, which is actually pretty high.
That's pretty good.
We were really surprised. It got everywhere from a 5 to a 9. So we were really surprised. Overall, I gave it a 6.5, I believe. And it was enjoyable, but there were some episodes that we all agreed were kind of felt like filler episodes.
They always have them.
It's unfortunate. It's, you know, you felt like they could have taken this season a little bit in a different direction, but overall it did really well. I actually recommend it to all of those who are afraid of the magical girl genre. I would definitely use this one as a way to understand what that genre is about.
Kind of breaking into
it. It has that thriller, horror, you know, tragedy type of storyline, so it's actually pretty cool. The labyrinth scenes especially are very cool because these magical girls are fighting witches, and the witches create these extra dimensional spaces that they dwell in, and instead of being the normal animation style of the series, it turns into this almost Monty Python-esque, you know, like cutouts, but it's all very chaotic. It's just a really cool animation style that I really enjoy. But this month, we're going to review Chrono Crusade, which is an older show. It came out in 03, 04, and it's basically set in the roaring 20s. So it's during the 20s, during the, you know, where bootleg liquor and, you know, mob rules the streets and that sort of time of prosperity. And it's basically in the wake of the First World War, everything's going crazy, and it follows the story of this Catholic sister, Sister Rosette Christopher, and her soulbound demon partner, which is interesting. And they regularly roam across America, basically taking out demons and so forth,
bad guys.
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting. We're going to watch that, and we'll see how it fares this month. But Arrow Season 2 came out on Netflix on the 8th, which is...
I haven't watched any of it yet, but I plan to. I'm actually going on a business trip where I'll be gone for like 4 days.
Cool.
And so I'm probably just going to take my iPad with me and just... kind of binge watch Arrow while I'm on my business trip and just chilling in the hotel room.
You know what I love about Arrow is that Kathy and I have been watching it together, and it's one of the few like geeky like superhero shows that she's been enjoying with me. So we totally watched, like, yesterday was the 8th, or, you know, and it came out on Netflix, and so we sat down and watched the first 4 episodes. We're just like,
nice.
Whoa.
that's how I like to roll. That's how I do.
We got to the episode, I think episode 4, and there was this big reveal, and you're like, we both looked at each other like, what? So it was great. It was very cool when we can both look at each other and be excited about it. So
yeah, well, that's the cool thing about Netflix, in my opinion. It's just, I wouldn't nowadays, with the whole cord cutting and everything, people, we've been conditioned, I guess, some of us that are cord cutters, we've been conditioned to receive things when we want to watch them or receive them, either if it's streaming, but like Netflix, you just, you know, you don't have to wait the next week to get the next episode. Granted, you have to wait until the next season comes out on Netflix.
Right.
But you can binge watch a whole series or a season of a show in, you know, minimal time or as long as time as you want. And I really enjoy that about streaming online.
Yeah,
so.
I think it's awesome that we've created these new terms like binge watching and marathon, you know, marathons, you know, oh, I'm going to go do a marathon. You say that these days and people are like, oh, what show are you going to watch? It's not running anymore.
Where are you going to run?
No. You know, you say marathon and now it has additional definitions of where you're like, okay, is it the 26.2 miles or is it these 26 episodes, you know? So it's,
I'm more of a 5K kind of guy.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So it's been awesome to watch the Arrow, and the fact that in the second season he actually is being, you know, he's starting to call himself like the Arrow, and I'm just waiting for that moment where he actually becomes Green Arrow. And of course, you know, there's the speculation of the sidekick in the show,
Speedy.
But you know they're not going to call him Speedy in this show. Because
they'll probably call him Red Arrow.
Yeah, they'll probably call him Red Arrow.
That's what he eventually becomes, is Red Arrow.
Right.
But
it's,
yeah, but initially he's Speedy.
Yeah.
Come on!
You know, I looked at Kathy and I said, you know, in the comics, he's known as Speedy, you know, because everybody knows by season two who that's going to become.
Oh, you know,
you see it coming. Yeah, you see it coming from far, far away.
Oh, yeah, totally.
But even though I'm not a big comic book guy, I still know enough that I see that coming, which is still great, you know, because you guys are hardcore comic book guys, you know, compared to me, but I can still, at least
well,
I know.
Compared to Ryan and John, I'm pretty much nothing either as well.
I know. Those guys read so many comic books. I'm just like, well, of course, when we were kids, they would have these huge collections of
huge boxes.
Like, well, of course, to us, they were huge. They were only about 4 feet long. But still, that's a lot of comic books.
It was big when I was little.
And I remember scouring through that and reading as much as I could. So,
oh, yeah.
But oddly enough, I might have read a bunch when I was in junior high, but I didn't really – it didn't, like, sink into me.
It didn't carry over.
Yeah, it didn't carry over to, like, high school and so forth.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, some things stick, some things don't. But it's not like, you know, you hate comics or anything. I know that you still enjoy a comic every now and then, but it's just we need to, you know – Ryan and John have their thing, and we have our thing.
There you go.
That's
what's awesome about the Four Horsemen of Geek is we all have our little spots of geekdom. So when you get us all together, you get the whole story.
That's right. You get everything.
Yeah. But let's see. Gosh. Back to my week, I suppose. But Anime 2014 fall season came out. Woo!
Oh, yeah. I read the article you posted.
Yeah, so Log Horizon, which John and I both really enjoyed, season 2 came out, and I've already watched, I believe, the first 2 episodes, which is – it's great. One thing I've noticed, though, is the animation style is slightly different.
Different artists?
Not necessarily different artists. It's almost like a different budget. There might be some artist changes, but overall, I think a lot of the characters, though, as seasons go with any show, you get like costume upgrades and, you know,
tweaks.
So that way you can tell season to season, right?
Yeah.
You know what uniform is Picard wearing this season? So, but and then there's of course the 20th anniversary of Tenchi Muyo, this year.
The news.
And so you have this show called I, Tenchi Muyo, and it's AI, so I.
Yeah, not to be associated with Apple I.
Yeah, or me I, right? But it's done in what they call mini episodes, where they're only 5 minutes long.
Oh,
but there's
okay.
50 of them.
Oh.
And they come out like every other day.
Interesting.
And
so it's kind of like a weekly comic, but it's like a weekly anime.
Because what's interesting about Tenchi Muyo is it invented what's referred to as the harem genre, which is basically either a group of men or a group of women who pine over somebody of the opposite sex. So if it was a group of guys, it'd be one girl and a bunch of guys, and they all have some sort of love interest, or they all really like
connected somehow.
So in Tenchi Muyo, you have Tenchi, and he was surrounded by a bunch of women, and they all love him for some stupid reason because he's this goofy guy. But this is the continuation of all the stories. So he's an adult and he's a school teacher, but he's investigating this all-girls school, of course, you know. And so his new harem for this genre is this girl's school. But he's also traveling through time in order to solve some sort of mystery to save the universe. So it's going to be very interesting to see how it all works out in these five-minute clips. Because each five-minute clip, sometimes it's almost like watching a standalone episode. So you're like, wait a minute, because it didn't have anything to do with the previous episode. And so
It's going to be so fun. It's going to be fun and new. It's kind of fun to see anime trying something different. But those things are fun, but it's also frustrating at the same time.
Oh, like, you should like, come on. You should read the comments online where people are like, great, Tenchi Muyo, yay. What the crap is this? It was only 5 minutes long.
I hate you.
It's pretty funny. So, lots of new anime to watch. My friends in SLC Anime are going to be reviewing a lot of new anime, and they're doing some panels at Anime Bonsai.
Cool.
And of course, you have the weekly television, Shield, which is, looking really good for season two. You know, and then all the other shows. I am watching that show Forever and Castle and, Blacklist. Awesome. So those are kind of my weekly shows. And then I started reading a book, too.
Oh, so yeah, but you plow through books like they're
nothing. I do. So I just picked up a short story called The Staff of Serapis by Rick Riordan. It's the crossover with his character Annabeth from the Percy Jackson series and the Kane sister.
Oh, he's so crossing them over.
Yeah, this is the second crossover. The first crossover was with Percy Jackson and the Kane boy. Gosh, I
brother.
Forget their names. It's the crossover with the sister and Annabeth, and they're hitting it off right away. Where Percy and the brother, oh God, it's gonna kill me. I'll find it soon enough. But
Peter,
it's really cool to see the worlds combining. I'm just waiting because he's done Greek, he's done Roman,
he needs to do Norse now.
I'm waiting for Norse or Indian, like the Indian pantheon. You know, the Hindu pantheon. That would be really cool, because that's a big pantheon too. So you could do Norse. Realistically, it would make sense to go Norse because it's more Western. It's closely related to all of those, and of course, it makes sense to do the Egyptian because Greek and Egyptian kind of combined at one point in time when Alexander the Great took over Egypt. But
yeah.
Anyway, and then
Carter and Sadie.
Thank you, Carter and Sadie Kane. Kills me. Thank you for Googling that.
Google.
I know, right? But his new book came out on the 7th, which was, I believe it's called The Blood of Olympus, which is book 5 in the Heroes of Olympus series.
Yeah.
So it's really cool.
Well, I'm excited because
somebody's dying.
Ooh.
Yeah. So.
Because in November you have Brandon Mole's new book coming out for the Five Kingdoms.
Yep.
Also in November, I believe it's in November, or it might be this month, you have Brandon Sanderson's new book coming out, which is the sequel to his novella, Legion, but this one's a full-length novel, because it was his novella, Legion, was received
really
tremendously well. And so everyone's like, we want a full book, we want a full book.
He's like, fine.
Fine. So yeah, I'm excited about that because I really liked the novella too. It was pretty awesome.
Nice. Well, dang, that's kind of my week in geek. Big, cool. Big geek week for me. So I'll give you next week.
Yep.
Next week I'll actually be reporting from Anime Banzai. So I'll be actually there on my laptop. So hopefully my audio comes through okay. And
your connection's
good.
Yeah,
and my connection is good. Yeah, no kidding. And then I'll be able to also tell you how I did in the tournament.
For
the sword tournament. So
awesome.
I'm crossing my fingers for the top three, but ooh. I'm so out of practice
Have they said how many people they get to compete?
Last time I heard there was 15.
But okay.
We'll see if there's more. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. Some people
cool.
I know I can tear them apart. Other people I'm not so sure about. The newer people give me the more anxiety. because you don't know how they fight, and so it really keeps you on your toes. So that's one thing I love about tournaments, though, is it brings in that fresh feeling. So you know you don't get.
For
those who do a lot of sparring in martial arts, especially when you have the same sparring partner, it really becomes predictable. And part of becoming a good fighter is being able to use the skills and practices that you do to adapt to any situation. Exactly.
Yeah. So, that's great for competitions. I remember, competing as well and just within our own organization, and that was lots of fun. I miss doing that. But
so what about your week in geek, Barry?
And I'm glad you had a lot to talk about because I have jack squat.
Oh, man. What?
I know. I've been super busy with work. I'm a lot more busy than anticipated. I have a lot of meetings and night events that I have to go to. I have
like
to go out
job,
of
town. Though?
Yes. It's awesome. It's really good experience. So... but I was able to get some gaming in the sense that I played some Munchkin with my wife. And
have you picked up any of the expansions yet?
Not yet. I'm going to ask Santa for them.
You know, so. one of my favorite ones to laugh about is Munchkin Goth.
Goth, yeah. I've seen that one.
It's funny because it's a play on words because it both has... like goth as in the German goths and also the goth as in, I dress in black and wear heavy eye makeup goth.
Little teenager goth.
Yeah, not all goths are teenagers.
Adults too, yeah. So I play some Munchkin, it's fun, and just playing other regular good old-fashioned board games. I was finally able to sit down with my son this today, actually, before the show. He downloaded the Lego Hobbit demo on our PlayStation. And so he's like, he's been bugging me. Let's play. I'm like, all right. So we sat down and we played the demo and, being a demo's worth, we only played for like 20 minutes or something like that. But it was fun. I really enjoy playing games with my son when I can. So just need to find more opportunities to do so. I've been so busy.
Nice.
But something that it was interesting came up in conversation today, actually, is my wife and I, Crystal, were thinking about attempting to try our hand at some prop making.
Ooh.
And specifically foam prop making.
Oh, okay.
Because you could do so many cool things with foam. And so our friend of the show, Bill Duran, he has a couple of books out right now that are all about foam prop making, and he has a third one coming out soon. But so I'm going to pick those up, and he also has like a buying guide on his website. So search for punishedprops.com, and you can find stuff about foam prop making, and he also has tutorial videos. And we love Bill. He's an awesome guy, and so, you should support him.
Yeah. Have you seen the Dragon Con 2014 music videos that came out, I think, today?
Yeah, I watched both of them today.
Yeah, you'll see Bill and his brother in their Zed and Ned costumes with their claptraps.
Claptraps, yeah. And then in one of the videos, you see Ryan a few times in his Beast costume.
Oh, you do? I was looking for him in that huge group, and I kept missing him. So.
Yeah, you see him a few times. There's no good like close-ups of him, but he's in the big shot a couple times.
Yeah, and our cousin, Britta.
She was in it, too.
She was in it in number part two at around, like, 3 minutes.
She was one of the
mutant protesters. Yeah, that was cool.
With the purple hair.
Yeah, with the purple hair.
And that's her real hair color. So,
well,
that's not a
That's wig. Her hair that has been dyed.
Yes, well... Yes, I was just meaning
that joking.
It wasn't a wig.
It wasn't a wig. Yeah.
So, but yeah, I've read my weekly Table Titans comics. One came out yesterday, and they're only like 3 panels long sometimes, just depending on what they show. But I really like following them. It's really fun. And
so
yeah.
Are you going to be making armor, or what are you going to be making with your props?
I don't want to. My problem with things that I do is that I always get super, super excited about doing something, right? I'm like, oh, I'm going to do this. And I'm like, it's going to be so awesome.
And then 2 weeks later, you're like, this sucks.
Well, but my problem is I have what I call delusions of grandeur when I try anything new. And so when I try something new, I'm always like, I have to do this. And it's like this big, huge, giant project that, that Ryan would be able to do after his years of training. But in my mind, I'm like, oh, I could totally do that. Come on.
I could totally make that Space Hulk armor.
I know, right? And so my problem with when I get into hobbies or projects like that is I always...
Instead of testing the waters, you jump in head first.
Yes. And so with this, since my wife is... She said she would do it with me. I'm thinking that I'm just going to pick a simple object and start with that. I was thinking of just like making a sword or something.
Or
so
make a single pauldron.
Yeah. So and Bill actually has tutorials for stuff like that. Or and then eventually maybe I'll make that Destiny hand cannon because that's a foam.
I know, that's so cool.
The tutorial for that, and I was like,
oh man, yeah.
Yes. So I'm excited about that, and I want to test the waters, like you said, instead of, drowning myself. But yeah, so I hope, because that would be something really fun to do with my wife. I know that you and Kathy do the sewing and all that.
Yeah, I wish we were better.
Yeah, well, but it's something that you guys can do together.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Crystal and I, we have a lot of things we enjoy doing together, but like project stuff like that, or like Crystal's not a big video gamer, and so she doesn't want to play games with me, and so I'm like, well, make props with me, and she's like, okay, well, I could try that, because she's an artistic person, and so she can get into that.
Yeah, that's something I've said it before and I'll say it again. I love having a wife to game with because it's so awesome for her to get home and she's like, I want to play. And I'm like, yay. it's just awesome.
But hey, at least she plays D&D with me now.
Ah, see, there you go. Now, but now you need a gaming group to do it.
I need
it.
A group.
There you go.
I'm working on it.
Okay.
But yeah, so that's really it for me. I just hope to have pictures and updates of possibly me making stuff in the near future and follow in the footsteps of our beloved brother Ryan and his cosplaying awesomeness. So, yeah.
Nice.
All right.
Well, I think that's the... We're done with this segment. What's next?
That's right. Let's go to the next segment. The Weekly Geek. This is a segment where we talk about geeky news. Stuff that happened out throughout the week. Stuff that we're interested in and we feel that you would be interested in as well as you're listening to it. Surprisingly enough, I was the one that did all the show notes this week.
Well, I was gonna comment on, one of the show notes. I mean, we all love Destiny, and we've talked about how they, they had the big raid. The raid is the something of glass.
The mirror.
Yeah.
Or something
like
that. Oh,
it's killing me. See, I wish I have been able to play the game, but I haven't been able to play the game. It's
yeah, me either.
But it's called the Vault of Glass. And
Vault of Glass.
It's a raid mission that's normally considered excruciatingly difficult, even with a team of six players, right? And we now know that it can be done with two people.
Oh,
so
nice.
Apparently this guy, a hunter and a sunslinger warlock, basically had memorized the raid.
The layout.
To
and
the point
the
where,
people, the
and they were, fully geared, like all their weapons did 300 and all their armor was just out of, purples of like extreme high, awesome uberness. You know, these guys are geared out to the head to toe. But they
extreme but high Uber.
Seriously, but what's unbelievable is they videoed their entire two-person run from the point of selecting the mission to the very end, and it's just crazy how good these guys are.
I know.
It's just
insane.
But it's normally during the big battle, instead of one person holding the relic while everyone else shoots the oracles, one person would drop the relic, shoot the oracles, the other person would pick it back up, and then they would just kind of rinse and repeat, where they would literally toss the ball to each other, and which was hilarious because it's such a foreign concept, because normally you would be like, protect the person who has the relic, kill the oracles.
Yeah.
But instead they were like passing, they were playing like
they're like they're shooting
they
me
were like playing
now,
keep away. Yeah, they were like playing keep away to throw the AI off. And it was just pretty cool to watch the whole process. The video's 1 hour and 8 minutes long. So is that the whole raid?
Okay, so that's the whole thing.
They did the whole raid in 1 hour with two people.
You know what? And I bet it's like two 16-year-olds.
Who knows? Whatever it is, it's still...
Nothing against our 16-year-old listeners.
Yeah.
I'm just saying you guys have a little bit more time to play than we do.
But whoever they are, obviously from the video you know their names, but... It's still pretty impressive. So I thought I would throw that out there because I know we made a big deal about like when the Vault of Glass was passed and we're like, it was passed in 14 hours and then it was passed in 10 hours and now it was passed with two guys instead of six
in one hour.
Because they knew exactly what to do. I mean, they even memorized like the spawn times of the creatures. So like they would turn just at the right time, they would turn and pivot and they would pop up and they would shoot them in the head and then they would turn to the next group. And you're like, really?
Well, just imagine how many times they had to play
the raid before they were able to know
it's,
those
things. It's probably
things.
Two Chinese guys who have been paid to do it. I don't know. Nah. Sorry, that was a racist comment. I'm not sure if that's racist or nationalist. Either way, that was a bad comment. I apologize.
Send all your hate mail to theclosetgeekpod at
You know, it's my hate for real money traders in MMOs, and like 90% of those are from China, so there you go. Anyway.
There you go.
But yeah, right. It's like, some other fun news, since I'm talking kind of video games and anime at the
time.
The virtual idol, known as Hatsune Miku, or just Miku for short, was on David Letterman. What? Right?
Oh, yeah.
An American show, because she's doing this big concert tour on the East Coast. And when I say virtual idol, it's literally her voice is virtual, her personage is virtual. The only thing that's not virtual is the music, because all the performers, like the guitars and the synthesizers and the drums and so forth, are actual performers who are part of the band. But Miku is completely computer generated and projected onto a they do it in kind of like a 3D glass projection from behind.
Yeah.
So you get depth perception with it. So it almost looks like a hologram. So it's really cool. And she was on David Letterman, and he had no idea kind of how to react to it. He's like, and let's welcome the virtual idol from Japan. She's doing her concert tour, and he didn't know how to react, because here is something that's just completely foreign to Americans, because
it's weird too.
Because it's not a real person. It's just completely a virtual creation.
Yeah.
The voice is 100% virtual, but the only drawback I thought about the performance on David Letterman is they did the English version of her popular songs, and the voice,
it doesn't translate
okay, but what happens is they've put years and years and years of hard work into making her Japanese voice sound amazing.
Perfect.
I mean, to the point where depending on the song, you would swear it was a real person, because they've learned how to, like, all the different, there's like 40-50 different variations on a single note that they can do, about like how much breath, how much time, you know, the tonalities, reverberation, etc. And but in the English is a tough language in itself to speak.
You know, I speak English, and I think it's a dumb language. Because we have weird spellings for stuff. We use letters that we don't even need, and we have like four meanings for the same word.
Or words that are spelled the same but have different meanings.
Oh, different meanings. I hate that too.
And words that are pronounced differently but spelled the same. Yeah. What do they call them? Antonyms? Anyway,
I don't care.
Anyway, but yeah, so she performed, unfortunately, in English, because I don't think the English sounds as good, but they're getting better with their English version of her, because Japanese is very simple. It's a consonant with a vowel, and it just, you know, translates very well in a virtual concept. But anyway, I get off. But it was really funny, because here's something extremely foreign to America on David Letterman. And he at the end of the, you know, normally they go up and like shake the hands of like the people who performed, but she's a projection. So he just kind of stood there, and he's like, Hatsune Miku, all right, great. And she's all like, she bows and waves to the audience, and then she just,
poor
and then
David,
she disappears.
Why wasn't she on Jimmy Fallon? That would have been probably a little
maybe,
bit more appropriate.
Maybe she should be. But what's interesting, at the same time, on the same day, or around this time, is Tetsuya Nomura, which is an artist famously known for doing Final Fantasy artwork for Square Enix. So if you've ever seen some of their movies, like Final Fantasy VII Advent Children, he did an artist's rendition of Miku, Hatsune. And so she looks like she would be a character from like Final Fantasy. And the translation was amazing. She looks really, really good. So everybody's like, are they going to transition into this new art style? Because it's part of that New York, debut that she's doing in New York. Part of that debut was Hatsune Miku. Miku was new artwork, new concept for America, but by Tetsuya Nomura from Square Enix did the character rendition. So it's very interesting that they created this new look for her America, big American debut. So anyway.
Yeah.
Off subject. Sorry, Barry. Sorry, sorry, listeners. That's what you get when you get Michael. Still, you talk anime.
You talk Japanese stuff.
Yeah, I talk Japanese stuff. But that was kind of my Japanese. I got it all out of my system. So,
let's talk about this note about J.K. Rowling hinting on Twitter that she's going to bring back Harry Potter.
Oh, come
but
on.
She didn't just like. She didn't just, like, hint it in, like, regular words. Apparently, it was, like, this cryptic message, and only the biggest Potter fans out there would understand. But, like, someone got it and, like, supposedly, like, translated it, and it basically is saying Potter will return or Harry will return or something like that. What that means, we don't know, but you know how the internet is. Everyone's like, she's going to bring the books back. But the interesting thing is that she said
she did say that she had a novel to finish and a screenplay to tweak.
Yeah, well, and she said she was going to basically announce what she was supposedly hinting at next week. So...
yeah, it's... It'll be interesting because she always said that she wasn't going to do the like later years of Harry Potter as an auror.
Yeah.
But now it's going to be interesting because
I'd read it.
I would read it too. It's not like I'm going to hold it against her. It's like it's like saying, you know, George R.R. Martin when he says, you know, I might not kill that character. You got to take it for a grain of salt, you know. It's going to happen, you know. Just like
you're going to assume it's going to die.
Just like J.K. Rowling saying, you know, I think I'm done with Harry Potter. I'm like, no, that's like who you are, you know.
It's your bread and
it's
butter.
Your bread and butter. I know.
Stick with
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Well, it's
well, and you could do so much in the world. You don't have focus on Harry Potter.
I mean, we've always wanted to find out what magic is like in America because. Think about how many fans are American or other parts
of
the world. They talk about Europe and they talk about Egypt even in some of the books, but they don't talk about America.
They never mention America.
Not really, no.
America!
I almost wanted to finish that for you, Barry, but we're family friendly.
Don't finish it. Don't
Heck
finish
yeah.
it.
Yeah!
But, No, I am interested to see what the supposed news is.
Well,
so.
it's interesting how people follow her tweets so closely, and you know she's like, what are we going to do today to keep all the fans
How
happy?
Can I mess with people's brains today?
I know, right? It's so true. You know that something's going through her mind like that.
Yeah.
But
it was fun news to talk about anyway.
And of course, I was going to say, one of your favorite shows, Naruto, is...
Yes!
They finally announced the last manga.
It's over in November. It is ending.
Until the next...
Naruto...
Yeah. Well, that rendition.
Yeah, I imagine they'll probably... But it is the most successful selling manga of all time. Nothing has... really come close to Naruto. They're, you know, setting the pace, but you know, I think it's smart. End on a high note, right?
Well, yeah,
and then but they do have a scheduled movie later, and then who knows? I mean, and then the anime will catch up eventually to the manga. But I mean,
there's some
I'm so far behind though. But, yeah, I think it will be good. I did have a show note in here that I wanted to talk to Ryan about, but he's not here because Ryan's our comic book expert. Apparently there's a superhero called Squirrel Girl.
You haven't heard of Squirrel Girl? She's one of the more powerful superheroes in the Marvel Universe. You would think that's kind of silly, but at the same time, she has defeated some of the most powerful villains by herself. Like, she took on, I believe, Doctor Doom and won. And, you know, but she has, she's Squirrel Girl. She can talk to squirrels, and she has a squirrel companion.
I just got a message from John. He's contributing to the show via correspondence, and he says for Naruto that only the manga is ending, but the graphic novels and anime will continue.
Right. That's why I said it was the last season of the manga. I didn't say that.
And we kind of said that the anime will eventually catch up. The manga always is way ahead.
The anime, like 388 episodes, and it's still going. Oh,
it's,
and you're like,
it's insane.
There's a reason I haven't started watching it, because I'm like, I don't have a year to catch up.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, we've talked about it before on the show, but it's just you have like three great episodes of awesome action, and then you have like 10 episodes of filler. I hate filler unless it's
at least
the filling in my eclair.
At least it's not as bad as Bleach was, where you would get filler was literally the stuff from the previous episode. So you get like 8 to 15 minutes of previous episode. You're like, I've already seen all this.
Watch this already. So interesting rumors coming out.
Breaking rumors.
Stay tuned. News update on that coming soon. Anyway, so Ghostbusters is apparently still in the running to be made. They have a director and they have a new writer now. And the rumor is now that the Ghostbusters is going to be an all-female cast. But Dan Aykroyd has actually made the statement that, like, that is totally bogus. There's no truth to that whatsoever. But then all these other... The reason why the rumor is there is because the new writer is, a comedic writer that the last show that she did was called The Heat, and it was a comedic female cast show. And so they're thinking, well, why would they have a writer that's good at writing female comedy and not have the characters be female? So that's really where the coming from.
That's just silly.
You know how people speculate.
Yeah. Gosh, people speculate all the time. I hate people who never mind. I don't hate myself.
What? Yeah, I do it all the time.
We do it all the time.
I love doing it. But it's just... But they're also not calling it a continuation of the story. They're hinting at that it's going to be a total reboot now.
Right. That's going to be interesting because hate's kind of a strong word. I dislike this idea that we have to reboot something, you know, like, why do we have to reboot it? There's so much possibility of just doing a sequel, and it's been so long since the original. You can change enough in the sequel to just...
It would be its own standalone show,
but you're not stomping over the hearts of these people. But at the same time, it's the new generation. The new generation they maybe have heard of Ghostbusters only because of the fandom. But think of all the shows from the 50s and 60s and 40s that have been remade in the 90s and the aughts and so forth that everybody had forgot about unless you're over 60 years old. And so I understand rebooting or remaking, but I don't know. It's a really
popular trend right now in Hollywood.
Yeah, popular trend. That's Yeah, but
it's a nice way of saying it.
I really hope there's no reboot and it's just a sequel. Please. But yeah, but the whole all female cast rumor, kibosh.
Yeah,
it's not true.
Don't get us wrong. We have nothing against a female cast. It's just we don't think that's true. Although I probably expect that one of at least the Ghostbusters will be female.
Heck, it would be cool if it was even 50-50. That's perfectly fine. Yeah. But it has such a certain feel to the concept that we grew up with that having an all-female cast, I'm not sure would work.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know, but you never know. You never know.
Yeah. Something that I thought was really interesting, and I kind of put it in the notes for you, Mike, too, because I know you like Robin Hood.
What?
What? No, we all do. We grew up with it and everything, the classic stuff. But apparently, they're going to create a Robin Hood, and this is a new word now. It's called a Cineverse, a cinematic universe. Where they will have something that's similar to like what the superhero movies are doing, where you're going to have a movie about Robin Hood, and then you're going to have a movie about Will Scarlet and Little John and Friar Tuck, and then they're going to get together and have a group movie. And so they're talking about how they want to do this and how the feel that they want for the shows is going to be like a heist show. It's going to be basically like Ocean's 11 or The Italian Job, but with Robin Hood and his merry men. So
it has potential.
It does.
But I if we were going to do this sort of Cineverse idea, I would rather see it done with The Three Musketeers,
yeah,
where
that'd be awesome.
You get a full movie about each person, and then they eventually come together as the Three Musketeers in that epic battle, you know?
And I know many people will disagree with me, but I liked the new Musketeers with Logan Lerman and the flying ships and everything. I thought it was cool.
It was fun. That's what it was.
Yes.
It was fun. I didn't dislike it or like it. I enjoyed it. It was fun.
Yeah. But at the end of the movie, I leaned over to my wife. I'm like, oh, man, I love this, but I know it won't get a sequel.
Oh, no. No way. Nope.
It didn't do very well at all.
The sword fights were
I liked
were
them.
Okay. So they were pretty decent.
Yeah,
that's the hard part when you take
no swordsmanship.
No, well, no, not that. I was gonna say when you take something iconic like the Three Musketeers and you throw a steampunk concept to it, a lot of people get butt hurt because it's the alternate universe type of feel, which I thought was fine. It was fun, but some people get so. You know, it's just like Harry Potter. What if Harry Potter was rebooted in 20 years from now? All the people who grew up with it would be like, no, no. It's kind of like how we are. So I get the idea.
Yeah. So, yeah, but, yeah. So, some TV news real quick is...
They still exist.
TV exists, people.
They exist.
It's there.
They are not going anywhere. No, I'm just kidding.
That's right. No, there's a couple announcements of new shows coming out. So apparently they are strongly hinting, another breaking rumor, is that they're going to have a live-action X-Men series on Fox. But they talked about it. They said, but we don't know what characters they're going to do.
Yeah,
I mean, it could be like the new generation of
edition,
X-Men.
Is it like X-Men Evolution, Uncanny X-Men, the new X-Men?
Or would it be smart or dumb to have to create your own characters, but have like two of the strong like leading characters. Maybe like have, you know, maybe you do have Professor X, or maybe you have like Cyclops.
Logan.
But have just like a couple of them, not like the whole group, but then they're teaching and raising this new generation of mutants, but they're all new characters.
It makes sense that they would want to do this because of the superhero bandwagon. You have Arrow, Gotham, you have
Flash.
We have yet to see if Constantine or Flash succeeds.
But then you have
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, you have the new show Scorpions, but I wouldn't call that a superhero show.
But then you also have the Netflix shows. You have Daredevil and...
But they haven't come out yet, though.
But they're already announced in production.
True.
They announced the Supergirl show Teen Titans.
Would they do it in the same feel as Arrow and Flash and Gotham, where they take the idea and then tweak it for television?
I think I'd be okay with that.
As long as it's done right. Well, admittedly, they did do Gotham very well. So, and of course, John once again chimes in and says, don't forget Quicksilver.
Quicksilver, I get, but John's referencing an article that they talked about that Quicksilver would be like one of the main characters in the X-Men.
Okay.
That's what he's talking about. And so we were talking about some familiar characters, and Quicksilver was talking about that they do that. And also John chimes in and says they could get the same actor cheaply and follow his antics and then see like how he joins the X-Men.
Oh, yeah, the same one from Futures Past.
Yeah.
The one we all like. The one that
everyone likes. But we have yet to see how Quicksilver is portrayed in Avengers 2.
True.
So that could be pretty awesome too. So we'll wait to see.
And while I'm going to speak for Ryan a little bit, cuz we all chat during the week. He didn't really enjoy the Flash.
He said it was kind of blah.
But of course, Ryan also wasn't a big fan of the first season of Arrow, where I was, and so I have a feeling if it's done in a similar fashion to the Arrow,
then I probably
will like it, and so will John. But
yeah, that's what John was saying. He's like, I'll probably like it anyway.
Well, you know what's interesting is we have yet to see what they'll do in Flash if they do something similar to that bullet time, you know.
They have to. That was the coolest thing.
Well, it was super cool.
I'm moving so fast that I'm just going to push this bullet out of the way with my finger.
Well, his energy of moving so fast redirects that bullet. You know, it's an awesome idea. It's great. It was awesome. It's the best 2.5 minutes in the show.
Oh, yeah, totally. Another TV news is, for those of you that are familiar with the video game Myst, it was very popular.
Good book, too.
They are going to create a TV series based off of the game. The way that they were kind of describing it, the first thought that came to my mind was, like, Lost? Because they're like, there's going to be a group of people that are on this island, and like in the game, you had to solve
the mystery,
these mysteries of the island, and so it's basically going to be about this group of people that are on this mysterious island and exploring it. So, but, you know, the game was really, really popular, and also the other installments of that Myst universe. I could get behind it.
Now, what's interesting, though, is first you had Myst, and then you had Riven, and then you had Phantasmagoria, and all of them kind of intertwined in the same universe of Myst, are they going to utilize all of them to create this world?
I don't see why not.
It would be...
It would just give them more material to pull
from. Well, I hope they do, because when you think about the Myst game, not a lot happened. There's more interest. I really enjoyed the book series based off of the video game more than the video game itself. So,
yeah.
Although, you know, admittedly, Myst was like, for a lot of people, the first like CD-ROM game.
you know what show in that same era that they should make into a TV series?
What?
Read My Brain. Read it.
The same genre?
Well, look, it came out in the same time period,
Are you thinking like a Monkey Island?
Yes!
A Monkey Island TV show.
Yes! That would be so awesome.
It would be almost like they would probably take like the, you know, what Monkey Island and
The Curse of Monkey Island.
Since Monkey Island was Lucasfilm, which is now owned by Disney, which also owns Pirates of the Caribbean, they could take the Pirates of the Caribbean idea with the Monkey Island idea, combine it together into a TV. Disney, are you listening?
Disney. And put it on NBC because you own
that. Exactly. Or they could just introduce those characters into Once Upon a Time.
They have
another season. They already introduced the Frozen stuff. Now you can introduce all of the Captain Jack and all
the other pirates.
Yeah. There you go. You're welcome. I'm getting no kickback whatsoever on this.
I would like a check with my name.
Yeah. Please make donations to theclosetgeekpod@gmail.com.
Boom. So, yeah, I think that's it, man. That's a show.
What? Already?
Ready. Man. It's been an hour.
You know, we would do geeky trivia, but it's really not really geeky trivia with the two of us, so...
It's just me.
Sorry, y'all. No geeky trivia this week. When there's only two horsemen, it's really like, Barry, do you know? I could stump you on purpose. No, that's cool.
Right. But we'll have geeky trivia next week when our two other cohorts join us.
Yes.
So we'd like to thank Alpha Geek Radio for the live stream. You can see our rerun shows also at alphageekradio.com. We'd like to thank Doghouse Systems. You can go buy computer at Doghouse Systems. Awesome computer. I have one and I love it. It's been a true blessing in my life. If you use the code CLOSETGEEK, you can get double your RAM on your purchase for free. And also go to our site, theclosetgeek.net, and use our Amazon affiliate link to help us out. So thanks for listening to The Closet Geek, guys. You can find us at our website, theclosetgeek.net, on Facebook, on Twitter, and also you can find us on iTunes. Go subscribe, rate, and review our shows. Send us all the emails, whether they be hateful or giving us money for our Disney ideas, to theclosetgeekpod@gmail.com. And thank you, guys. We are the two of the four horsemen of geek, and we're reminding you to wave your geek flag proudly.